And if you're just tuning into Nevada Noisemakers, I'm sitting with Lev Sterling, who just released his fresh release, Steve Lerling, out on all platforms. Hey there, Lev.
Hey, what's up?
Great to have you on.
Yeah, great to be here.
So to my understanding, this EP came out of a place of frustration with you being sort of immobilized by a recent accident where you broke both of your arms. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, so January 1st, I was on one of my like bike rides that I've been going on these past couple of months. And I got into an accident where I actually broke both my elbows, my jaw, and like some teeth. It was pretty crazy. And I had like a cast on for like 4 weeks, and it was kind of hard to do stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and then like for the first couple of days, I actually had two casts on like both my arms, but luckily my left arm, I was able to like, if I didn't have my left arm, I would have not been able to make the CP probably.
So are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm right-handed.
So you were making the you know, virtually at least the beginning of the CP, you were making it with your non-dominant hand.
Correct.
So you were just so motivated in yourself. I mean, did it come out of a place of restlessness?
Yeah, I felt like there was not much to do. Like, I mean, I couldn't exercise much. I tried to get out of the house when I could, but it was like, I don't know. This was more of like an experiment, how I could push myself during this. Yeah, you know.
That's extremely interesting, because I've always been one to believe that limitations inspire creativity.
Yeah, that's,
and I definitely
I
feel
agree.
That on your I feel like it's a sentiment more people could adopt to release some of the writer's block that a lot of creatives experience. But we hear a lot of those concerns voiced on the title track to Steve Lerling, where you say, "I hate making excuses," right?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about the lyrical inspiration for that track?
Yeah, a lot of that was not written down before. It was more came from a place of like what you were saying before, genuine frustration. I was frustrated that I couldn't live up to the standards that I'd been living up to previously before my injuries, and everyone was asking me to like do this, write that down, draw that. Oh no, can't. I can't draw. I can't write. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I can imagine it must be incredibly difficult, and it's very commendable just out of a sense of, you know, I'm going to create, whether or not I can use both of my arms, I'm still going to try my best. That's inspiring, I think, to anybody who hears this broadcast. You know, it is commendable.
Yeah.
So a lot of that was just improv or ad libs.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it was, yeah.
Huh.
Okay, it was heavily edited afterwards.
Right.
The vocal takes.
You were quite literally voicing your frustrations, mm-hmm. you know, improvisationally.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So when we talk about your influences, you know, I took a peek at your playlist and you've got, Sophie, Aphex Twin, Charlie XCX, Dorian Electra, Death Grips.
Yes.
All of these, there's sort of this new wave of, I don't even want to say hyperpop anymore, because hyperpop has become so deconnotated, I feel like.
Yeah, it's not necessarily that, I would think. It's more of just like under the general umbrella term of like electronica.
Mm.
That's where I draw a lot of my influences, especially for this project.
There's definitely a lot of house as well. Or at least
yes.
on Floor Teeth,
mm-hmm.
which is one of my favorite tracks. And I want to talk about your shift in sound, because when we hear a song like Bad Example, it's a complete contrast to what we hear on the EP. What motivated you to try something new?
I think since I feel like quarantine has kind of changed everyone's preferences for things. Like, you get bored of the same stuff very quickly. And I don't know, I just felt the need to pursue different sounds. I mean, my sound was already kind of changing while I was making that. And looking back on the stuff that I made quite recently after that was released, it's like, doesn't really sound the same. I don't know. My influences have kind of shifted more to something like with a more adventurous sound, I'd say.
It's definitely more out of the box. And, you know, experimental is another word that's very deconnotated in the music genre. But it is very experimental, you know, in both the instrumentation and the way you use instruments. You're a percussionist, right, at heart. That's your main instrument. And I can't imagine how restricting that is, first off, to be immobilized in your arms, you know?
It's not easy.
But I want to talk about when we release something that's experimental or out of the box, it's almost hard not to put yourself in a box when it comes to not only labeling your music, but creating a sonic landscape, right? How do you contain all that? Because I know, at least with my mind as a creative, I've got a million ideas running at once.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a challenge to narrow down to like the best things, because some things are just too, lack of a better term, too crazy. Like they just won't work. And you gotta just find what works.
And I will say it's more accessible than some of the other music in that subgenre. Because if you were to give somebody like Aphex Twin, if you were to shove that album to somebody who's only listened to a completely different genre, I feel like they wouldn't understand it or be able to digest it as much as Definitely. They would be hearing Steve Lerling. I think Steve Lerling is much more of a cross-genre meld.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, of course. Means a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's more like if you listen to so much music, you will take from so many different places and it'll make it kind of more accessible, just like by nature, how you get your influences, you know?
You talked a lot about the instant gratification and that relating to quarantine as well. You're constantly switching up. And you talked about how just this year in quarantine has made all of our brains so much more susceptible to boredom.
Yeah, I don't want everything of mine to sound the same, because then maybe you'll probably, I don't know, get bored of the music if it's all the same. It's hard to focus on one specific sound, but at the same time, that's not really what's going on. It's more like trying to find as many sounds as possible and make them fit together as best as possible.
But that in itself can be daunting, though, trying to find as many sounds as possible, because when you're experimenting with yourself as a creative, I can't imagine how daunting the writer's block can be. It's like going to a fancy restaurant and having this extensive menu and then not knowing what you want to choose and instead choosing the starve, right?
Well, okay, so like that playlist that I put on my Spotify, it highlights some of the things I was listening to during this healing recovery process, and I just like heard sounds and I was like, I want to make that. That is what inspired me. And it didn't feel daunting to me. It felt more like you're diving down the rabbit hole of weird sounds.
Will we be able to expect more from you in the future of going further down that rabbit hole?
Yes. Weirder sounds on the way.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to it. I want to shift the conversation to another type of music that you do make. And I know you produce with the Maxites.
Yes.
And you're one half of that band. And listeners of this broadcast have heard Arms Are Not in the past. I want to talk about Arms Are Not in particular, actually. I want to know, what was the drive that you guys had to just redo the song?
Okay, so that was actually made the day after I got back from the hospital. Remember how I was talking about I had casts on for like two casts on for like a couple of days? That was made with just fingers, basically. I couldn't move my left arm either, which was kind of crazy. Those lyrics were just, I don't know. It wasn't hard to just redo it. We were brewing on a lot of feedback from it since it was released months ago. And it's, why not just like make it again, but make it in the moment? We weren't really planning on making it. Like, if this didn't happen, my accident, we wouldn't have made it again.
You still had that criticism towards it, and I love that you turned it into something even better, because it is a better track, you know, as far as production goes and instrumentation goes. Sonically, it's a better track.
Yes, I've grown as a producer. I've grown since that song was released.
Yeah, and I can definitely hear that. And you guys are up and coming too. You're just finding your footing. Can we expect a shift in sound from the new release?
You can definitely expect something a little bit more extreme from us.
So more experimentation, more extremity.
Yep, that's from my extremities.
Double entendre there. So Maxites as a band, we're hoping that we get to see you guys play live when this pandemic is, you said it best in yourself, no longer a pandemic. That I want to talk about that line, actually. Is that specifically referring to how people aren't taking the pandemic seriously?
Did you think that the line is no longer a pandemic?
Yes. Is that not the line?
No, it's not. I say no longer independent.
Oh my God.
That's the lyrics.
I mean, that makes more sense with the theme of the song. So that's a struggle that you had, your independence.
Yes, that is definitely a struggle. It just made me appreciate the little things.
So it changed perspective. Yeah. And we can definitely hear that on Steve Lerling. It's a huge shift in sound, and we're definitely looking forward to what comes next. But as far as what comes next, I mentioned the Maxites and hoping to see you guys play live. But as far as you as a solo artist with the solo career that's just now starting, is that something that you plan on doing in the future?
Yeah, my career as a musician in general is just getting started in moving away from concert band, which was like my focus. I mean, since this pandemic has kind of like ended that for a lot of us, it's like opportunity to start making this kind of music. And you can definitely expect more things. You'll get more things.
Well, I can't wait for the things to come. Yeah. And when we talk about you in concert band, because I know both you and Carter of Maxites have, you know, studied music in school. How has that affected your songwriting process?
It's made it easier, I could say, because I have colleagues that weren't part of like the concert band experience in middle school, high school, and it knowing a little bit of theory from band, but also just like music theory in general, knowing that helps you get your ideas out easier, and it's something I'm like appreciative for. It definitely helps me, and I'm thankful that I was participated. It's great.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the two interview guests I've had on here in the past also agree with you that theory is a huge helping hand. Whether or not you have a terrific ear, it can just be a shortcut to making a great track. When we talk about the EP, and I'm circling back to your release here, talk about the cover art. I want to know if the spoon has any significance.
I'm glad you asked about that. It does. So the spoon that I used on the cover art was actually, because of my limited mobility with my elbows in general during my recovery process, it was really hard. And the fact that like my jaw was broken, I could not eat solid food for a good while. I had to eat not solid food, semi-solid food, and I used a spoon. That spoon is actually my like grandmother's like silver spoon. It was given to her by her mother. Yeah, it's pretty old spoon actually. And it's long. It's longer than any of the spoons I own in my house. And I like told this to my grandma. I was like, I don't have long enough. Like, I can't eat this. It's like, I can't bend my elbow to eat the food. So she gave me like a long spoon, and it kind of became like an everyday item for me. And I wanted to memorialize it.
There you go. And yeah, it ties into the whole writing process that you had for the EP as well, because you were immobilized, and that's something that inspired this project.
Yeah.
And when we talk about the project, I want to know how you name your tracks.
Let's talk about the intro, Lunch Break. That was named. So the intro is made up of like these shimmery little synths going on. To me, it sounds like people talking during like their lunch break. And that's how I named that track.
About Floor Teeth? The track that comes
after
that
one, lyrically, I talked about my teeth being on the floor, fell out of my mouth.
But how do you come up with the imagery? What specifically, because you have this crazy experimental, what makes you say, I'm going to talk about my teeth falling out?
Oh, okay. I wanted to talk about my teeth falling out on this EP in general, like at least one time. I was like, I gotta do that, because I mean, it happened, and it was kind of a crazy experience having, like, I've never had that big of an injury, honestly. It was crazy. Another fun fact, I recorded Steph Lurling the day of I got like fillings in my mouth. I recorded it that day, those vocals, and I had like lidocaine shots, and I could barely speak. So I don't know if that's intelligible, but
to me clear. I mean, they're soaked in a couple of effects, but I mean, regardless of the pandemic independent fallacy, I can make out most of the words, or at least I think. But that's, I just think it's so commendable to just have all of these restrictions and still say, screw it, I'm going to make an EP. And I want to talk about self-doubt, because that's an issue that every creative has when it comes to motivation.
Couldn't agree more. It's definitely something that was a problem for me. Going into like new sounds, being unsure of like, does this suck? And it's hard to know what sucks and what doesn't. Definitely having friends that are honest and caring is definitely something that's good when you make music.
So you have that support system around you where you can send a track and say, you know, it's half done or it's nearly done, and I want a final opinion on this, you know, before I send it out.
Thankful for my friends. They're cool.
That in itself can be kind of scary when we're sending, even to our friends who we respect and we want respect back from. It can be kind of scary sending over something that's completely new. How do you combat those feelings?
It is definitely, it's very scary. It's hard to do it at first, but at the same time, I mean, you're, as a friend, experimenting, like, not with music, but like in general, experimenting with like your lifestyle, talking about that with your friends is sometimes like important, because I mean, who else are you going to go to?
So a lot of it is communication for you.
Yeah, it's important to have good communication with your friends. And this is just like a small part of that.
So you can count on those people to say, you know what, I don't like what's going on here or here, or maybe the entirety of the track.
Yeah, I respect their opinions.
But what if you disagree with that opinion? What if somebody...
Yeah, there's also the disagreeing. Like, if you disagree with someone, you got to know when... You got to trust your gut sometimes. Like, if someone else doesn't like this just because it's like their personal preference, or it's because it like gives off a bad vibe, like in general, not just because they don't like it because of their personal feelings, you gotta like just be able to like pick apart that, distinguish what's like what the criticism actually means.
So that's a skill in itself, just trying figure out what their true intentions are. And that can be revealing to know who your true friends are, right?
Yep, exactly.
But yeah, it's an extremely difficult process, and just me as a creative myself, when we're sending tracks to other people and they don't want to hurt your feelings, like, yeah, it sounds great, but in the back of
their mind, that's not always the best feedback. That's not what you're looking for all the time.
I don't think that's why anybody, unless the track is fully done and they just want a boost in self-confidence, I don't think that's the way any of us send a track over to a friend. Yet we're looking for actual criticism. And that's a rarity, in my opinion, that you have that support system that'll give you honest feedback. Because I still have an issue with that.
Yeah, because like it's hard. Like I have friends that like know what they like and know what they don't like. I know what they like. And yeah, so it's easy to filter out what their personal opinions are and what like actually other people would react to this. It's important to know your friends. Like I've been saying, can't stress that enough. Know what they like just so you can be a good friend too.
Oh yeah, that's an integral part of relationships in general, is just knowing the other person. So we talked a lot about the process for this record, and we talked a lot about Bad Example in the past, but I want to talk about the future here, because there have been some rumors of collaborations with other artists in the scene. Yeah. I won't name anything. I'll leave that up to you. I want to talk about your nature, as you kind of at least seem to me as a workaholic. Like, that's what you thrive off of, is just bouncing from one thing to another and getting stuff done.
Yeah, it's hard to be static in one place. Mm. And it's hard to, that's pretty hard. In general, I try to keep myself occupied with something. That was why this EP happened. And for the future, as you were saying, I can definitely see as summer approaches, there's going to be a lot of free time that could be wasted, but I don't think I'm gonna waste it. Gonna get well spent.
Because you have this new perspective as well of, you know, how immobilized you can be. And
make the most out of being able to move.
Definitely. Every day is a privilege, right?
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
That's a great sentiment to have. And honestly, you know, situations like these can kind of be a blessing in disguise, I feel like, because it makes you value what you have. So as far as future collaborations go, we talked about Amaxites. Is there a project that fans can look forward to in the future?
Yeah, I think like people can expect more from me and more from Carter, us together. Yeah, you guys can definitely expect that.
Sweet, that's great news. Great. And how does that songwriting process go between you and Carter? Because I don't know if you guys are...
We write better when we're together in person rather than over like video call or something. Mm-hmm. But sometimes video call is necessary, but we've adapted.
So how does it work in the sense of like, are you sending over a riff or does he send over something and you write some words on top of it?
I mean, it depends. It depends on the song. Sometimes you get like a riff idea, you like record it, maybe like a voice memos, send it over, be like, hey, just thought of this, is it bad? And then if it is, then we try to either improve upon it, or we're like, we could scrap this. It just like evolves from there. And then sometimes you go into a song thinking about what you want to do, like, oh, today I want to make a rock like heavy song, and then other days you're like, I'm feeling a little like vibey chill, and then you just like write from emotion, and when you write from emotion, it's easier to pick like choose the sonic aspects of the track as well. Oh, this makes me feel icky right now, I'm gonna choose this sound instead, like I'm gonna choose this synth line instead because it makes me feel better than this one.
And that's an issue that I've had as a creator, or at least a lesson that I've had to learn the hard way, is that the best songs just come straight from emotion. So how do you channel that when you're feeling uninspired?
Yeah, it's definitely hard to being uninspired is something that we all have to like deal with, and the way that you can fix that is just do something that you wouldn't normally do, even like a little. Like, this sounds weird, but if I want to change up my process, I will probably like go to bed earlier. Like, I usually go to bed at like 12 a.m. But if I go to bed earlier, or like I eat dinner earlier, eat meals in different times, it makes you feel different about the day and like get a whole new perspective on time in general, really, because it's like, this is not how I normally do things. Then you can like find little inspirations in like the mundane, like romanticize things that you wouldn't normally get to romanticize, because you're like, I don't even care about that. Take things for granted. But if you change it up, you won't take certain things for granted.
And is that something you've always been doing to channel inspiration, or has that come after the recent accident?
That kind of came like when the pandemic started, because we all got suddenly not busy. And so you got to find ways to make yourself busy. Sometimes it's not important to like produce material in this case. It's more important to like find a good situation for yourself so that in the future you can make good material.
Hmm.
It's like quality over quantity.
And healthy habits definitely make healthy songs, for lack of a better metaphor. But I mean, you're correct. And I think it's extremely insightful that even before this accident, when you immediately went into quarantine, you're thinking, all right, how can I make myself busy? How can I shake things up to keep my mind active?
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, very commendable. And your process in itself, to me, seems very methodical, but I really appreciate what you do, and you can hear it on the record, just your diligence when it comes to production. Yeah. And I want to close this with production, because you've sort of found this new love through producing music, and you've been collaborating with other artists, and you've got this band, and you've got these solo tracks. I want to talk about when you started learning to produce, how long you've been doing it.
Okay, so production has been, it's kind of crazy to think about, but I actually started producing at the start of like the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like at all?
Yeah, like before that, I didn't really record or produce anything.
That's
like, I didn't
insane.
Know, yeah, you find a lot of time. If you really try, you will find something to do. This is what I like love to do now, and I'm thankful that I found good teachers. The internet is a great place. I will just say that much.
So you're self-taught.
You can learn so much. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's unfathomable in itself.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's incredibly difficult for some people just to do the simple things.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of in awe of this process here that you have.
I will admit, it's easy to forget sometimes what you're supposed to be doing. My process, I sometimes, like, if I'm stressed out, it's easy to forget, oh, you can just, like, calm down. You don't have to, like, do this. This isn't that important. And then once you realize that, it gets easier. Your head clears, but sometimes it's not that easy.
And when it's not, you can channel those feelings into another song.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we had a terrific conversation today, Lev. Yeah. I really appreciate all the answers you gave, and that was my interview with Lev. You can stream his EP Stev Learning on all streaming services. Go ahead and give him a follow on Instagram at Lev Makes Music. We'll play him off with his title track to that EP, Stev Learning.
No longer independent. Can I ask you a question?